Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and he brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him, from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So we see here Jesus calls two brothers, Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. They follow. Then two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and they follow. And in verse 23 we see what they saw. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching and preaching, and healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people, and that they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and he healed them. I gave you a quick summary there, touching on some of those verses. In my story, I was the fish. Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And the fishermen in my life were Thomas, as I was sharing with you. And after Thomas would be another one that I'll share with you. And before Thomas were the saints in Myrtle Beach that were witnessing to me. But I was a Muslim fish and I was swimming away as best I could. Now, I had various interests that I had. In this chapter, we see that people were sick. They were afflicted with various diseases, torments. Those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, he healed them. I didn't have a physical infirmity, but my struggle was I had a company in New York that owed me money. Well, as I shared with you last week, the Lord doubled that money when there was an involvement there, when I was speaking with one of the fishermen, Thomas, and he was sharing with me about Malachi and how I could test God according to the word of Malachi is the only way to test him. And so that first miracle was done. What I'm trying to say is, as we follow Jesus, we're going to see people who come to God in moments where they have needs. And it's as we meet those needs that Jesus is helping to make of us fishers of men. And often meeting the need is actually God himself doing some miracle, as happened to me. Now, I told you that when that money that was owed to me doubled, I got confused. I got taken in by a prosperity gospel, and I decided I was going to give to churches to become the wealthiest Muslim that ever lived. Right? I had funny ideas, as I've told you fish often do. But as I was buying things to put into my apartment, the Lord intervened in my life. And as many of you remember, I was a Muslim. I was a Muslim unsaved in this story that I've been telling. I had bought a PlayStation. I had bought a collector's edition PlayStation, a flat screen TV, a laptop. I had bought all kinds of electronics and put them in the apartment in which I'd lived. But the Bible says, "What shall it benefit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" So one evening, as I was storing things up on earth, where thieves break in and steal and moth and dust collect, as Scripture promises, as I was storing up things on earth, there was a fire in the apartment building I lived. And where we left off the story was that a fireman had banged on the door and yelled, "Fire." And I had come outside. I wasn't smelling a fire. I hadn't seen a fire. I lived on the first floor. But when I came outside, I realized the policeman was not lying. The fire was there, huge, 20-foot flames billowing into the air, maybe even up to 30 feet on the third floor. I was on the first floor. And the lesson I shared was a picture illustration that we go out and we knock on people's doors with the gospel and we tell them, "Fire. There's judgment coming for your sins. You have to be saved." And of course, I gave a little reminder that in the Old Testament, a leprous house, an unsaved house, if you will, a leprous house had to be burned with fire if it would not be healed and cleansed. So, brothers and sisters, what happened in my story as a Muslim? Well, I lost my things in the fire. I remember standing there with the firemen, wondering how long until the fire trucks get here. I'm not sure if I had a chance to share with you that I was thinking as I was standing out there with the firemen, how can I convince this policeman? I said I was standing out there with a fireman. I said that wrong. I was standing out there with a policeman. I was thinking, how can I convince this policeman to come inside the burning building and carry out my big screen TV with me? This is what I was thinking, right? And that's the problem for the unsaved, is they're very much stuck on, this is important to me, this is important to me. And I remember thinking, I won't be able to convince this policeman to carry out my flat screen TV. Let me just go in and get my laptop, my PlayStation, some other things, my computer tower. And so I say, Mr. Policeman, I'll be back. And I start running into the burning building. That's the behavior of fish, isn't it? Running into a burning building. And the policeman said, freeze, where are you going? And I thought to myself, I can't tell him I'm going to get my PlayStation. So I said to him, I'm going to go get my hamster. So, now, it was really a half-truth, which means a full lie, right? I had a hamster, but that's not why I was headed back into the fire, was it? Right? I wanted my TV and these other things. Well, you wouldn't believe what that policeman said. He called my bluff. He said, well, you come back here. I'll get your hamster for you. I went back to him. I gave him my keys. I said, I'm in apartment such and such. He ran in there and ran out with my little hamster cage under his arm. Came out of there like Superman. Handed me my hamster cage and my keys to my apartment. And I took them both and I said, thank you. I couldn't believe it. Here I was stuck outside the fire, a fish, having to watch my burning house. What was God telling me? All your stuff will be burned up. What about your soul? Will you be saved? Will you believe on Jesus and be saved from the hellfire that's coming? I stood out there only thinking about my electronics in there, my hamster cage under my arm. And I remember at one point I said to the policeman, where are the fire trucks? And he said, they're coming, they're coming. And I kept asking, and it was like 20 minutes. Finally, I said, where are they? And he goes, look, I've radioed. There's two other fires in Omaha tonight. And until they put those fires out, they won't get to this one. I couldn't believe it. My fire was the last fire that broke out that evening. It's a miracle of God that it was even seen. The way it happened was, the gentleman in whose apartment on the third floor the fire started, whose fault it was, didn't even call. He was just trying to put it out on his own. He didn't call the police. Somebody in a neighboring apartment building, a neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself, looked out the window and saw fire in my neighbor's house in the apartment building, called the police, and the police came. And it was something to that effect where somebody outside saw the fire, and there was a policeman involved in there, and that's how he got there so quickly. So now, here's what happened is, this building is burning and there's no fire trucks yet. He said, well, this is the last fire. And so they finally came when they put out the other fires, and it was about 3 or 4 a.m. They started spraying all kinds of water. The third floor was gone by this point. Vaporized, gone in smoke. The whole world will dissolve one day. Yeah. Right? The heavens will melt with fervent heat. Right? The heavens will be rolled up. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The end of time, space, and matter is coming, as physicists would say. And so here's the story is, the third floor was gone. The second floor was burning, but the roof was gone from it. The ceiling was gone because the third floor was gone. These fire trucks sprayed all kinds of water, and the second floor, which was above my apartment, filled up with all kinds of water, tens of thousands of gallons in that. And of course, the water, the floor can't hold that much weight of water. It's about 8 pounds per gallon. The floor gave way. All that water came into my first floor apartment, which was already superheated from the fire. Right, so it was a superheated oven, and then all this char and smoke and water and sud came in. By 5 a.m., the fire was out, and they permitted me to go into the building. But here's the story, is before that, they had us go have a meeting. all the tenants, they had us go to a meeting. They said, come to the property management office. There was an office where they managed these several buildings that people were renting from them. We all came there. There were 72 of us displaced from the fire. By the grace of God, not one person was hurt. Isn't that a wonderful work of God? The Lord permitting the stuff to be burned up, but the souls to be saved alive, that we might take hold of Jesus and be saved eternally. He was showing mercy. Well, I didn't see that mercy. I was upset. I'm losing my stuff. I'm tithing. This shouldn't happen. I had strange ideas, right? As though God is some divine mafioso hitman and you pay him for protection, right? I had funny ideas. Now, in this apartment building where the managers were meeting, they said, listen, we want to talk about the fire and this and that and what's happened. And the fire started in such and such apartment. And it was this gentleman's apartment. And that gentleman spoke and he said, well, it started in my apartment. So if there's any insurance money, all of it should come to me. Oh, we saw an angry mob develop very quickly. They wanted to hang him, right? And there was all kinds of commotion. And eventually the property manager said, okay, look, everybody calm down. And the news is there's no vacancies in these other apartments. You have to leave. And I talked about people came to Jesus for their needs. Now I had a need, a vacancy. I needed a place to stay. I was going to be on the street that night. And so they said, everybody's got to leave. There's no place. We got no vacancies for you. People started to calm down and leave. The property managers came to me and said, Ali, you stick around. Don't leave yet. And I wanted to leave early because of all that arguing with that guy they wanted to kill. And he said, you stick around. I said, all right. And finally, after everybody left, they said, come into the office. I came into the office. They shut the door. Now, there's no fisherman present. Thomas, who was witnessing to me, preaching and teaching, right? He's not there. But the master fisherman from heaven, Jesus, the one whom we follow, was working. They closed the door and they said, look, we told the angry mob we have no vacancies because they were fighting. And we didn't want them to fight over one vacancy that we have. We discussed amongst ourselves and we decided we're going to give it to you. You're a single bachelor. The vacancy is a studio apartment. The bed falls down out of the wall. Do you want it? I said, yes, please. I mean, the other option was homelessness. I said, yes, please. They gave me that one vacancy. And even though there were no fishermen in the room, Thomas had been preaching about the grace of the Lord Jesus so effectively that I remember thinking, you know, as a Muslim, this kind of stuff doesn't happen to me. I wonder if this is this Jesus. I wonder if this is the God of the Bible. The God of Malachi who doubled my money. Is now giving me housing. I got that vacancy. After a few weeks, the firemen had evaluated that building. I was living in an apartment building in which it was empty. Not the whole building, just my unit, my studio apartment. I hadn't taken anything from that new apartment. It was empty. I hadn't taken anything from the old apartment. That had all the other stuff soaked with water. I'm in the new studio apartment. It's just about empty. And the firemen had evaluated, the local fire department had evaluated that other building. And they said, that building is now condemned. Isn't that an interesting word? It's a biblical word. Some theologians say it means with them. Not with God, with them. Condemned. And in the Bible, we know the end is to be burned with fire. The fireman said, we will schedule you a time. We'll take you through that place and you can get a few things. So long story short, I want to wrap this up here a little bit of what happened with this fire. I was permitted to go into that building and I took my electronics out. I took my PlayStation, collector's edition, my laptop, my flat screen TV, a computer tower I had built with my own hands. But no matter what I tried, I could not get these things to work. The laptop, when I first picked it up, it was actually late the evening of the fire. They first took us in there just for clothing. And I grabbed that laptop when I was in there and I turned it over and a waterfall came out the side of that laptop. I lifted up the flat screen TV, a big waterfall came out the other side of that. In short, none of these electronics would work. I would try my best. I would lug them over to the new apartment, and I couldn't get any of them to work. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. All kinds. Now, I was healthy, but my electronics were sick, if you will. Brethren, the story I'm telling you is a true story. You can ask the brethren in Omaha. Here's what happened. A friend of mine from the East Coast came to visit. His name's Al. Al is really into conspiracy theories. All he wants to talk about is JFK assassination theories and UFOs. All the time. It's all he wants to talk about. Al said, I'm coming to visit you in Omaha. Could you put me up for a few nights? I said, don't come. I've got an empty studio apartment with some electronics. My bed folds down out of the wall. I don't have a place for you to stay. He said, well, it's fine. I'll sleep on the floor. I'm coming. He came and stayed with me for a few days. One day I woke up and I said, Al, I got to go to work. It's early. You just sleep in. Do whatever you want. I'm sorry you're sleeping on the floor. I got a 12.5-hour shift. I'll be back in about 13 hours. I walked to work. As I walked to work, I was wrestling with this Jesus, with this God I did not know. I was a Muslim. I was tithing to a Christian church, thinking that would protect me and bless me. And I was angry with God that I had lost things in the fire. And I had electronics that didn't work. And I remember on the way to work, I was upset. At work, they called me into a meeting. They said, Ali, we're having a special meeting. We heard you had a fire the other night. Well, listen, the team of brokers has taken a love offering for you. They used some wording like that. They gave me some money, and I came to tears. I thanked them. I would later find out there were Christians in that room of stockbrokers who took an offering for Ali, the Muslim from New York, who only loved himself. God bless the saints. Work got out, and on the way home, I wrestled with God. Why did you take everything from me? Why did you do that? But then you've given me an apartment. I got the only vacancy. And now at work, the stockbrokers have given me money. And I made peace with God about the whole matter. I accepted the whole thing before the Lord, even without knowing Him. It's not that there was any goodness in me. It is the goodness of God that leads sinners to repentance. God, Jesus Christ, who directs fish, had me on this journey. As I walked home, I accepted the whole loss. I walked into my apartment and there was Al. And there was my laptop on the table. Now, I'd already ordered a new one in the mail. I thought, is the new one come in the mail? He goes, no, it's your old one. I looked at it and said, it is my old one. I said, Al, I tried everything to get this laptop to work. How'd you get this thing to work? Now, I warned you about Al. He's a JFK UFO conspiracy theorist. It's all he ever wants to talk about. I said, how did you get this to work? And he goes, ESP. I said, what? ES, what does that even mean? He goes, extrasensory perception. I said, what? Did you think my laptop into working? He goes, no, I can't do that. You went to work and something woke me up. It was like rays from outer space. Woke me up and I knew what I was to do. I was to take your laptop and cook it. I said, what? Cook my laptop? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, how do you cook a laptop? He goes, well, that's the thing, is you had a fire, you lost everything. So I went to your kitchen, you had a frying pan that survived the fire, and a ceramic bowl. So I put the frying pan on the stove, the ceramic bowl on the frying pan, and the laptop on the ceramic bowl, and you said you'd be gone 12.5 hours, so I cooked it on low. The crock pot recipe. I said, Al, have you done this before? He goes, no. ESP. Now, let me tell you what's going on with Al. I would find out later. much, much later in this story, I would be saved. I would try to preach the gospel to Al. And Al would eventually, in a very embarrassed way, say, "Ali, I already know the Lord. I got saved at Bible camp when I was young. Ali, I went on for Jesus for years. But in the end, I walked away. I stopped following," effectively is what he did. I said, "Why?" He said, "I wanted two things." He said, "I wanted more money in my life, and I wanted women." Brothers and sisters, Al has been not following Jesus for 30 years. There's two things lacking in his life. Can you guess what they are? Money and a woman. Forget women, plural, what he said. There's not even a woman in his life. I preached to him, "Come back to Jesus. He will restore to you the years that Cancun worm hath eaten." So what's ESP? This guy was so darkened, having forgotten he was forgiven his former sins, that he forgot the Lord directing him. And he's saying, "Rays from outer space woke me up." What a gracious God to use him. Remember that children's song we sing? "Somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a..." Right? "He will return again, although we don't know when. Countdown's getting lower every day." He said, "Rays from outer space woke me up. I knew I was to cook your laptop." Here's the Lord Jesus looking down from heaven, putting one of his servants that's in dereliction to duty to work that day. And I come home and the laptop's working. And he said, "ESP, ESP. Now, what about that collector's edition PlayStation? I remembered I had given it that week to my neighbor in a neighboring apartment in the same new building I lived in. He was from Africa. He was an expert at fixing stuff. You know, things break here, we buy a new one. In Africa, they fix it, right?" And so I said, "He might be able to fix it." I went and knocked on his door. He had already told me later that week, "Or already opened your PlayStation, couldn't fix it." I said, "Well, you hold on to it. I can't fix it. Maybe one day you could." He said, "I can't." I said, "You hold on to it." Knocked on his door. Eve is his name. He's from Burkina Faso, Africa. He answers the door. "Hello, Ali." I love his accent. "Hello, Ali." I said, "Eve, don't tell me. My PlayStation's working." He goes, "How did you know?" I said, "Tell me the story." And he tells me the strangest, convoluted story. How they were bored, he and his friend. So they went to his friend's father's house. They went to his friend's father's house at the shed in the backyard. Opened the shed door. Pulled out a leaf blower of all equipment. A leaf blower. Put it on the ground. Went and brought my PlayStation, a collector's edition, put it on the ground, turned on the leaf blower and blew wind on it for 3 to 5 hours, and then it worked. No ESP in Eve's story. Went back to the apartment. Al had covered my TV with a white sheet. That TV was covered in soot, smoke, and char. I said, "Al, you're going to get the sheet dirty. You don't got to cover the TV." I pulled the sheet off of that TV. And the TV has been meticulously cleaned by hand. Al had spent a good part of the day cleaning it by hand, getting all the soot and char off of it. I said, "Al, that was very sweet of you. But this doesn't work." He goes, "Turn it on. ESP. And I argued with him there. Finally, I plugged it in. It was right there on the ground next to an outlet. He'd been playing with it all day, cleaning it. I plugged it in, hit the power button, it turned on. I said, "Al, what did you do?" And I'm thinking to myself, "You can't cook a flat screen TV on the stove. It doesn't fit in the oven." He goes, "ESP told me, put your finger on the power button and hold it there for 2 minutes. And it came on." And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Thomas was teaching the scriptures to me, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Thomas was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. It says, they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. I was fine physically, but he healed my electronics. Now, before you think, Ali, I don't know if I can say this is a miracle or if that's a miracle. Okay, well, you call the laptop repair shop. Tell them you have a broken laptop. Do they ask you, have you cooked it yet? Tell them you have a broken PlayStation collector's edition. They'll say, have you gone to your friend's father's shed to get the leaf blower and blow it for 3 to 5 hours? No. Has ESP told you, put your finger on the power button, hold it there for 2 minutes? What are these strange ways? They're the ways of God. As God says in the Old Testament, for my ways are above your ways, as the heavens are above the earth. Remember, Jesus spat in the mud, rubbed it on the guy's eyes. I like to think many people tried to mimic and imitate that after, and it didn't work if they did. It was something about not the way necessarily, but the man who is the way, the truth, and the life, he said of himself. And so these things were restored to me. I told you earlier, fish don't encourage fishermen, but having these things restored to me was the strangest of things. I went to Thomas and told him about it. I said, Thomas, my stuff broke. It was in the fire. I lost everything. But then I accepted the loss. And then everything started working. And Al kept telling me ESP. And I said to him, the Lord is using you. And Thomas said, so you lost everything. You accepted the loss. And God restored everything. I said, yeah. He goes, well, that's the story of Job. Job? What? Who? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It says, they immediately left their boat and their father and followed him. And then it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching, preaching, healing, all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Now, at this point in the story, you think this guy's about to get saved. How many miracles has he seen? And there was one electronic device as well, the computer tower, right? If you have doubts about, well, are these really miracles? Well, the computer tower had suffered the worst fate of all those electronics. I had it on the ground in my apartment. When the tens of thousands of gallons in the above apartment crushed through the floor and came into my apartment building, it became flooded. Even when we went there, we were ankle deep in water long after the fire was put out. And so the moment that water came through, that computer tower was underwater. And when I got that computer tower and brought it to the new building, it was filled with soot, char, all kinds of garbage inside of it. You'd think it'd been in the forest for a decade. It stank. It reeked. Everything did after the fire. I put that computer tower in a box, closed the box, and put it in a storage unit. I should have thrown it away, but if you haven't noticed, these things were important to me. I couldn't let them go. Right? That's why God did a miracle concerning them. It was because my heart was wrapped up in them. God did it to get to my heart, to save my soul. But when all these things happened, I went and I got that computer tower after all these things. And I said to myself, Al is gone. He's left. There's going to be no ESP. No eaves, leaf blower, nothing. I'm getting that thing out of storage, straight out of the box, and putting it on a concrete stoop outside. I'm not bringing it in. It stinks. It's dirty. It's filthy. I plugged it in on a concrete stoop outside my apartment. I put a little monitor on top of it, hooked it up, and a keyboard. Plugged it all in, hit the power button to the computer tower that had been underwater. Beep, 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 beep. Windows logon screen appeared. Enter your password. I would use that computer tower for years after that. And nobody ever touched it. But God, who is rich in mercy, desiring that none should perish. That PlayStation, I would use that for years. Eventually, after I would get saved, the kids at church would find out Ali has a collector's edition PlayStation. They would borrow it. They would play that thing. They would play that thing. If that PlayStation could speak, it would say, "Let me die. I was supposed to die in the fire. These kids won't leave me alone." At one point, years into that, the kids came to me and I could tell something had happened. I said, "What is it?" And then one of the kids said, "Well, it's your PlayStation. It's acting strange. It's like when we play it, it's like sometimes it's weird on the screen." I said, "Look, that thing was dead. Don't worry about it. It's a miracle it ever worked again." That laptop worked. The new one came in the mail. I had two. Mailed the old one to my sister. She used it for a while in New York City. Lived in New York City. Left it on her windowsill with the window shut. But her windows weren't nailed shut. In New York City, your windows need to be nailed shut. Isn't that sad? That window was not nailed shut. A thief managed to open it, grab that laptop from her window, so she told me a week or two later, "That laptop you gave me is gone. Some thief enjoyed a miracle laptop by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." God save his soul. And what about that TV, the biggest one? The one in out of which came that waterfall? That TV is in Iowa, in a Christian family home, being used to the glory of God to this day. And you may say, "Well, do you still use that computer? Do you use a computer from 2008? Right? No. But I kept parts of that motherboard after I threw it out because I was done with it. And like it was just old, old, old. I kept parts of the motherboard as a keepsake to the grace of God. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. Brothers and sisters, at this point of the story, anybody should get saved. But some fish are stubborn, if you haven't figured it out. Some fish really stink. Instead of getting saved, I became jealous. Why does the God of the Christians, Jesus, do miracles and answered prayers, even fixing electronics? And I can't get Allah, the God of Islam, to do one thing for me. And in my jealousy, I swam away from Thomas. I didn't return his calls, his text messages. He never knew why I swam away. It was because I was jealous of his Jesus. And it's a sad place to say to be continued. But there's encouragement to come in the next meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank you. When we face discouragement, we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to fish discourages us, that Jesus would go about all Galilee and that the fish would still turn away and swim away sometimes. We thank you that we look unto him, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, from which we can follow him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.